This is one of a series of lectures using the Studies of My God's Plan for Man book and my Bible chart. I am Finis Jennings Dake, and the subject of this lecture is the Book of Daniel. In our first study of the Book of Daniel, we saw that there were certain world empires that were to exist from Daniel's day on into all eternity, including Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Revised Rome, that is 10 kingdoms that will be formed inside of the Roman Empire in the latter days, and then the kingdom of the Antichrist, the kingdom of the little horn. After the 10 kingdoms are formed inside the old Roman Empire, then will come the Antichrist, who will form an eighth kingdom and the last kingdom. Now then, we come to our next prophetic chapter in the book of Daniel, that's Daniel 8, where we have two beasts referred to, two beasts symbolizing two world empires, Medo-Persia and Greece. We read of a ram and a he-goat, and we read that the he-goat in verse 7 ran upon the ram in the fury of his power and stamped the ram in the ground, and none could deliver the ram out of the hands of the he-goat. Therefore the he-goat waxed strong, and when he was strong, his notable horn that he had on his forehead was broken off, and for it, or in its place, grew on the head of the he-goat four kingdoms, or four horns, representing four kingdoms. Then we read in verse 9 of the 8th chapter, out of one of these four divisions of the old Grecian Empire, as symbolized by the four horns on the he-goat, the little horn would make his appearance. That out of one of them shall come forth the little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. The interpretation of this vision is also given us, so we won't have to argue about it at all. In verse 20, we're told that the ram represented the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough he-goat, the kingdom of Greece, and the notable horn between his eyes, the first king. He said, whereas that being broken, four horns grew on the head of the he-goat, four kingdoms will come out of Alexander's empire. And all one has to do is get an ancient history and see for himself the formation of the old Grecian Empire by the conquests of Alexander the Great. And when he died, you can see for a few pages further that the little horn passed away. The big horn was broken off. And four horns grew on the head of the he-goat. That is, four kingdoms were made out of his vast empire. And according to ancient history, Cassander took Greece and Macedon, Lysimachus took Asia Minor, or modern Turkey, and Seleucid founded the kingdom of Syria, and Ptolemy the kingdom of Egypt. Thus Alexander's vast empire was divided into four parts, which would be known today as Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. Then we read in verse 9, that out of one of the four divisions of the old Grecian Empire, either from Greece or from Turkey or from Egypt or from Syria, the Antichrist of the last days would arise. And that's what is interpreted for us in verse 23 of this chapter. Said, in the latter time of these kingdoms, when transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. The idea of this chapter over chapter 7 of Daniel is that we narrow down the coming of the Antichrist geographically from 10 kingdoms of chapter 7 to 4 kingdoms of chapter 8. Now then, we can do away altogether with 6 of these 10 kingdoms as being the possible countries from which Antichrist must come. We must now limit his coming from Greece, Turkey, Syria, or Egypt. And that gives us the idea that the Antichrist could never be considered the Pope of Rome, could never be considered from Italy at all, or from any part other than the four divisions of the Alexandrian Empire. And that also, while we're on that thought, the Antichrist couldn't possibly come from Russia or from Germany are from China, Japan, United States, any part of the earth outside of the old Grecian Empire and its four divisions. So the purpose of chapter 8 is to show us that the Antichrist is coming from one of four divisions of the old Grecian Empire. Now we go to our last chapter that we want to consider today, and that is the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, where we have a vision of wars between two of these Alexandrian kingdoms, Syria and Egypt, for a period of 150 years, ending with the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, who reigned 165 B.C. For we read in verse 2 that three kings shall yet stand up in Persia, and a fourth shall be richer than they all. He through his strength and riches shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Then in verses 5 down to verse 45, we have two of these four divisions of Alexander's empire dealt with in particular. They are the king of the north, Syria, north of Palestine, king of the south, Egypt, south of Palestine. Greece and Turkey are not once mentioned in this whole chapter, so we can forget about Greece and Turkey as being the possible places Antichrist must come from. And we must limit his coming now to two of these four divisions of Alexander's empire, namely from Syria or from Egypt. And then we have stated in verse 40, at the time of the end, that is during the last war between Syria and Egypt, at the time of the end, the king of the south, Egypt, shall come against him, that is against the king of the north, Syria, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, and he, the king of the north, shall enter into the glorious land, Palestine. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hands, even Edom and Moab and chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So if the war is between Syria and Egypt, with a final last day result of the last war between these two countries, that Egypt will be overthrown by the king of the north, then it definitely limits the coming of the Antichrist from Syria and not from Egypt. Thus the Antichrist cannot come from any place in the earth outside of Syria. Syria will be the place Antichrist will come from. This is just as clear as anything can possibly be. So we have now the purpose of chapter 11 over chapter 8 is to narrow down the coming of the Antichrist geographically from four kingdoms to one kingdom, namely the king of the north from Syria. Just like we can eliminate 6 of the 10 kingdoms in chapter 8 because the Antichrist is coming from one of the four divisions of the Grecian Empire, so now we can do away with 3 more of them, making altogether 9 countries of the 10 that Antichrist cannot possibly come from. He will definitely come from the country of Syria, which in the old division of the Grecian Empire took in modern Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and even Pakistan over to the river of India. So there, in the formation of the 10 kingdoms, there will be quite a change made in the east. When the Antichrist will come, he will come from a great country, ruling all these eastern parts of Alexander's empire, which would be known as the Kingdom of the Seleucids. All right, now then, we have a fact that in the end time, Egypt would be overthrown by Syria, and that Syria would come and enter into Palestine. That is, the king of Syria, or the Antichrist, according to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 27, will make a covenant with the Jews for 1 7-year. And in the middle of the 7 years, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease in the Jewish temple, and he will set himself in the Jewish temple, showing himself that he is God. This man will break his covenant with Israel in the middle of the 7 years, and that's what is referred to here in verses 40 to 43. Enter into the glorious land. Israel, in other words, will be definitely defeated. There isn't any statement anywhere in the Bible that Israel will be defeated before this time. On the contrary, God seems to make it clear that every part of the future concerning Israel is safe and secure from any defeat by any enemy until the Antichrist breaks his 7 years covenant with Israel and enters into Palestine and overthrows many countries round about and gets power over the whole 10 kingdoms. Now, Antichrist spends the first 3.5 years of his life among the nations as gaining power over the 10 kingdoms. He comes out of Syria, one of the 10 kingdoms, and overthrows Greece, Turkey, and Egypt. That's what's referred to in Daniel 8. Then the other 6 of the 10 kingdoms will surrender to him without any further war. That's what's referred to in the 17th chapter of Revelation, verses 8 to 16, 17, where we read, "The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And all that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not found written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is or shall be." Here is wisdom. The 7 heads on which the woman sitteth are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. That is, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece are fallen. 7 of the book of Daniel, verses 7 and 8. And 23 and 24, and here in the 17th chapter of Revelation, the 10 horns, will by that time, after the Antichrist overthrows 3 of them, he overthrows Greece, Turkey, and Egypt. That gives him 4 of the 10 kingdoms. Then the other 6 we read here in Revelation 17 will surrender to him without any further struggle. While we read here, God puts it in their hearts to agree and give their kingdom to the beast till the words of God should be fulfilled. Now, at this time of breaking his 7 years covenant with Israel, we have the idea that there was going to be another great war, because in verse 44 of the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel plainly tells us that when Antichrist gets power over these 10 kingdoms in the middle of the last 7 years of this age, that he will make war on the countries north and east, or rather the countries north and east will make war on him. Means in verse 44 of the 11th chapter of Daniel, "Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, this king of the north, from Syria. And therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many." The Antichrist makes war on these countries, leaving Israel go for the time being. In other words, when he breaks his covenant with Israel, Israel flees into Jordan. Which country escapes the Antichrist according to the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, where we read, "These shall escape out of his hands, even Edom and Moab and chief of the children of Ammon." Israel will flee from the Antichrist into Jordan, where she has a place prepared of God that should feed her 1,260 days from the face of the serpent, as in Revelation 12. All right, now we have the Antichrist then, having war declared against him by the countries north and east. Now, what are the countries north and east of the 10 kingdoms? They are Germany, Russia, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Poland, and over to the east there is China, Japan, India, and Southwest Asia, various other countries, way over to the east down to the place where the Antichrist is reigning by the river of India. So we have it very plainly predicted here that there will be a last war between the countries north and east of the 10 kingdoms and the 10 kingdoms themselves. This war will last the whole length, practically the whole length, of this last 3.5 years of this age. Antichrist, we read in verse 44 of the 11th chapter of Daniel, will go forth to utterly make away many. He becomes victor over Russia and Germany and China and Japan and these northern and eastern countries outside the old Roman Empire. And that brings us down to one of the most wonderful prophecies in the entire Bible. That is Ezekiel 38 and 39. And when we use this and associate this with the war between the countries north and east of the Ten Kingdoms and the Ten Kingdoms themselves, according to Daniel 11:44, it clears many, many problems of concerning prophecy. The average Bible scholar thinks that there is going to be a war between Russia and Israel sometime before the tribulation days or sometime before the revelation of the Antichrist. But there isn't one statement in the entire Bible that mentions Russia by name in particular. Now, I know they're forcing their way for Russia, forcing a place for Russia inside the old Roman Empire territory, and they're forcing Russia to be the Gog of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and they use these two chapters entirely out of place. They should be associated with the Battle of Armageddon at the second coming of Christ. But as it is, they're being associated with a war between Israel and Russia years before the end of the age. Such a war is never once mentioned anywhere in the entire Bible. If you will associate Ezekiel 38 and 39 with this 44th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, and with the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, with the first and second chapters of Joel, and with the 14th chapter of Zechariah, and the 19th chapter of Revelation, and other prophecies, you will have the most wonderful harmony that you could possibly find. There is no such thing as Russia invading Israel long before the end of this age, as some people are telling us now. Not the slightest reference to Russia. And to make Russia the Rosh of Ezekiel 38, verses 3 and 4, 2 and 3, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, try to force that Gog to be Russia, that's entirely out of place. The war that will make the king of the north conqueror of all lands of the north and of the east of the old Roman Empire will be fought in the last 3.5 years of this age. And that is definitely what Daniel 11:44 tells us, that tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, the king of the north, and he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. Now Gog is the Antichrist from Syria, not Russia. And Russia will never fulfill the many prophecies that Bible students say she will. So we can do away with that one little fiddle and one string on your fiddle, Russia, 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 communism, 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 Russia, 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 and communism. You can forget the whole thing, because Russia will not fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39, and will not fulfill many other prophecies that are associated with the Antichrist, the king of the north, or from Syria. Now, to make the king of the north Russia is one of the most foolish things any person can possibly do. Why? Because look at verse 44 yourself. Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble this king of the north. If Russia is the king of the north, then what countries are north and east of Russia that could fight Russia to fulfill Daniel 11:44? You know good and well, and these interpreters that emphasize Russia is the one referred to brag on the fact that Russia is the farthest north, the farthest north. Therefore, Russia has to be the king of the north of Ezekiel and of the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. But that's not the case. The Antichrist from Syria is king of the north, north of Palestine, but it's south of Russia. And if Russia is the king of the north, and we're going to insist on that, then we're going to have to believe that there are countries north and east of Russia that could possibly fight against Russia. And if you can find one country north of Russia, then I'll show you something that's absolutely new and different. We'll have to make a new map altogether, and we'd have to start a map country that would map company that would bring to pass these things referred to in these passages concerning something north of the king of the north. We'd have to pile a lot of dirt and make some other nations up north of Russia in order to fulfill verse 44 in any degree. So there's no need of that. Let's recognize that Syria and Egypt, all through the 11th chapter of Daniel, have been the ones dealt with, and Russia was not involved one time in any one of these verses. And if we can just associate Russia where she belongs in connection with the countries north and east that will be fighting the Antichrist, then we will have sense. Now, the Hebrew word for Rosh in Ezekiel 38, verse 2, is translated chief in that passage. And I have found 591 times that this word Rosh is used in the Hebrew Bible. And every time it refers to chief, head, capital, and other terms, but never one time is it translated Russia in the whole 591 times that the Hebrew word Rosh is translated. So we can forget about Rosh as being referred to as Russia, and Russia being referred to as Rosh. Just forget the whole thing. There's not any statement in the Bible to support such an idea. There are two modern fallacies about Russia. And one is that Gog will come from Russia. This can never be, for he comes from the 10 kingdoms of Daniel 7 and the 4 kingdoms of Daniel 8, and from Syria in Daniel 11. All you have to do is go back and look at the 7th chapter of Daniel, verses 7 and 8, and you will find that the little horn comes out from among the 10 horns inside or out of the old Roman Empire territory. And in his rise to power, according to Daniel 7:8, he overthrows 3 of the 10 horns and put the roots, and in this horn appeared eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. So here we have Antichrist coming from the 10 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire. Now, you can't make Russia a part of the Roman Empire to save your life. Russia never was a part of the old Roman Empire, and Russia will never be a part of the 10 kingdoms that will be formed inside of that Roman Empire in the latter days. So we're talking about kingdoms inside the Roman Empire, and Russia is not involved in this part of the world at all. So Gog will not come from Russia. He will become leader of Russia and China and Japan and Germany and these northern and eastern nations after he conquers them at the end of the last 3.5 years. But he does not originate from Russia, nor does he originate from any other country other than Syria. So in Daniel 7, he comes from 10 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire. In Daniel 8, he comes from one of 4 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire. And they are 4 of the 8, or of the 10, referred to in Daniel 7. Daniel 8 says the Antichrist is coming out of one of them. Out of one of what? Out of one of the 4 divisions of the Grecian Empire after the death of Alexander. In other words, he's coming from Greece, Turkey, Syria, or Egypt. And in Daniel 11, as we've said, the wars in this chapter are between Syria and Egypt, not Russia one time, but Syria and Egypt. King of the south, Egypt would conquer the king of the north, and then the king of the north later on would conquer the king of the south, and these wars went on for 150 years. There are 25 wars in this chapter, and every one of these wars was a war between Syria and Egypt, not between Syria and Russia or Russia and Israel at all. So the first thing, modern fallacy about Russia, you can just forget about it. Now the second fallacy about Russia is that she will invade Israel before Armageddon. Now, there's not a statement in the Bible to support such a theory. The only part Russia could ever have in it, if she has this kind of a part, it's all mere guesswork. But if Russia is involved in the war that will form the 10 kingdoms, then that's all right. Russia will be defeated in that case, and she will be driven out of the old Roman Empire, because Russia now controls Romania and Bulgaria and Hungary and certain countries inside the Roman Empire, which must be liberated from Russia in the formation of the coming 10 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire. So Russia, if she does enter into a war with Israel or with any other group of nations that will form the ten kingdoms. That's all right. You're going to have to guess about it. There's no statement in the Bible to support such a theory. And if she does, okay. Nothing in the Bible about it one way or the other. So you can forget this as a fallacy. Then this cannot be truth at all, because the Antichrist inside the Roman Empire is the one that is going to fulfill all these prophecies of the latter days. There are 14 proofs in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Gog is a person, not a nation. We will not take time to list these proofs, but we'll continue with our proofs that Ezekiel 39 do refer to Armageddon instead of a war between Russia and Israel long before the end of this age. Gog, not by this name, but by many other names, has been the subject of the prophets of Israel, according to 38th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 17. Russia is not once mentioned by any prophet of Israel at all. But the Antichrist of the Roman Empire is mentioned in all of Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 9, where he is spoken of as a prince that shall come from the Roman Empire, and Daniel 11, where he is called the King of the North, in Isaiah 10 and Micah 5, we have the Antichrist called the Assyrian, because the Antichrist is coming from the Assyrian Empire, which will be the Grecian Empire territory formed into the kingdom of Syria in the latter days. Then in the 13th and 14th chapters of the book of Isaiah, we have the fact that the Antichrist will come from Babylon, and he was called the King of Babylon in Isaiah 14. Then we read of him as being the man of sin, the son of perdition, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. We read of him as being the Antichrist in 1 John 2. And in Revelation 13 and 19, he is called the beast. The beast. The Antichrist, who is a man, explained, interpreted for us as a man in the 18th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. So Gog is mentioned many times. Antichrist is mentioned many times, but not Russia. Russia is not once mentioned in any prophecy in either testament. So we can definitely say then that Russia is entirely out of the picture. Many mountains and walls will fall in the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, verse 20 of the 38th chapter, for example, and verse 39, or chapter 39, 2 and 4, tells you plainly that the mountains and all walls will fall down, referring to the walls of Jerusalem. And this will take place at the Battle of Armageddon and not by a war between Russia and Israel years before these walls fall, as recorded in this chapter. This cannot take place until the seventh vial and the second advent of Jesus Christ, as proved in Revelation 16, verses 17 to 21, where we read that hail will fall, each hail weighing 56 to 110 pounds, and we read a great earthquake took place that caused the cities of the nations to fall, and great Babylon to be destroyed, and Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem to be divided into three parts, and the walls all will fall to the ground. So that's going to be definitely done at the second coming of Jesus Christ and at the Battle of Armageddon, thus proving that Ezekiel 38 and 39 does refer to the same as the seventh vial in Revelation 16 and the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19, and also in Revelation 16, 13 to 16, where we read of three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouths of the dragon and of the beast and of the false prophet. These are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them together to the battle of a great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Thus, you see, that Armageddon is mentioned in all of these chapters, but some war with Israel to break down all of Jerusalem and cause the cities of the nations to fall and great Babylon to be destroyed, which is going to be destroyed under the seventh vial, that's all entirely out of place. Now then, another thing, Ezekiel 38 and 39 takes place upon the mountains of Israel, according to Ezekiel 38, 8 to 16. Now, we must remember that inside the Roman Empire is Antichrist territory, not that of Russia. Russia is entirely outside all through these prophecies and will be one of the northern and eastern countries outside the ten kingdoms that will be fighting with Antichrist during the last 3.5 years of this age. So Russia is not the one referred to. Antichrist has a 7-year with Israel. And there can be no invasion of Israel by Russia during these last 7 years of this age. That's definite. Because Antichrist has his contract with Israel and protects Israel. The first 3.5 for the children of Ammon. The Antichrist will be the conqueror of Israel at that, not Russia. So any war that you even dream about and think about as being a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is happening long before the last 7 years of this age. You're just guessing, that's all. There's nothing, no authority in the Bible to support such a theory. If there is any war between Russia and Israel, it will be before these last 7 years, and that's definite. The only other war between before this and that is predicted is a war that will come when the ten kingdoms and Antichrist are coming to agreement as to who will rule. And Russia is not mentioned one time in all these prophecies along this line. If she is a part of any war in the latter days, the only part she could possibly have is in a war that would form the ten kingdoms before the last 7 years of this age. There's another reason why we must associate Ezekiel 38 and 39 with the battle of Armageddon and with the second coming of Christ. We read in the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, verse 23, that the Lord, after this war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is the same as the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19, that God will be known to all nations, and this will happen at the second coming of Christ only and not some years before the last 7 years of this age. God will be known among all nations. Now that will be literally fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes to the earth and gathers the nations to battle, or rather to judgment, in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, where we read in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. So he's going to be known to the nations at that time. After the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39, we read in Ezekiel 39:4 and 39:17-20, that the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the air will eat the bodies of these men that are slain on the battlefield of Armageddon. And that will take place, according to Matthew 24:28, at the second coming of Christ. For we read there, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And the previous verse in Matthew referred to the coming of Christ as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth even unto the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then in Revelation 19, verse 17, we have a picture of the battle of Armageddon. It said, Son of Man, speak unto every feathered fowl, to every beast of the field. Come, that ye may eat the flesh of captains, the flesh of all men, both small and great. And the same is stated, practically the same wording, in the 39th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 17 to 20, where he said, Son of Man, speak unto every feathered fowl, to every beast of the field. Come, drink blood till ye be drunken. Eat flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men. So Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Revelation 19 are in such perfect harmony that they cannot refer to anything else but the same battle, the battle of Armageddon at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Another reason why we point out to you that the Ezekiel 38 and 39 refers to Armageddon is that from this battle, all the heathen will know that Israel will be saved, and the God of Israel is the God of Israel, and Israel will not pollute God's name anymore. And you can't stop this thing until the second coming of Christ, at which time we read in Romans 11:25, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So as it is written, all Israel shall be saved. That is at the second coming of Christ. For thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's the same as in the 66th of Isaiah, verses 7 and 8, where we read of a nation being born in a day. And the same as we have in Zechariah 12, 10 to 13, 1, where we read the children of Israel will be converted and born again, and the whole nation will come to know Jesus Christ. Then will be fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus in Matthew 23, 39, when he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen would gather her chickens under her wing, but you would not. From henceforth your house is left unto you desolate, and you will not see me until you will say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now this will take place at Armageddon, at the second advent, and not in a war between Israel and Russia years before. Then also in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we have certain statements, for example, 39, 21, and 22, where we read that God will set his glory among the heathen, and the house of Israel shall know from that day and forward. Now, if Russia and Israel are going to fight together a war long before the last 7 years of this age, then how is God going to set his glory among the heathen years before the last 7 years of this age and still do it at the second coming of Jesus Christ for the first time? Tells you, God said, I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall know that I am God from this day and forward. So we cannot possibly associate these kind of scriptures, any detail of Ezekiel 38 and 39 in connection with the was some war between Russia and Israel before the last 7 years of this age. The Bible tells us plainly that this will take place at the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. And that's when the nation will be born at once. That's when Zechariah 12, 10 to 13, 1 will be fulfilled, where God said, I will pour out of my spirit upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Every family shall mourn apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and every family apart. Another reason we know that the Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ is that immediately after the fulfillment of these two chapters, all Israel will be gathered from among all nations to their own land. This is what is plainly stated in Ezekiel 39, 25 to 28. This is not done at some war between Russia and Israel years before the last 7 years of this age, or will not be done until the second advent of Christ, as proved by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 24, 31, where we read in verse 29 of Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, powers of the heaven shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet to gather together his elect from the four winds of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see it's Christ's second advent after the tribulation. That is when Israel will be gathered from all nations. And that's what the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 31 to 46, tells us, how that Israel and the nations will be gathered to judgment. And Isaiah 11, 11, where we have the beginning of no less than 70 sections of the Old Testament, prophecies, many of them, concerning the restoration of Israel. Isaiah 11, 11, for example, says, The Lord shall set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people which are left from Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath and Asi. He shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. And that's what's referred to in Revelation 19 at the Battle of Armageddon. What we read in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together against the second coming of Jesus Christ. So Ezekiel 38 and 39, and Revelation 19, picture without any question, the Battle of Armageddon at the second coming of Jesus Christ. To further the study of this passage in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as being fulfilled at the Battle of Armageddon, you have the definite statement by God himself, when it does take place, then shall Israel know the Lord. Because I have poured out my Spirit upon them. You see, at the second coming of Christ, this will be literally fulfilled. In Zechariah 12, 10 to 13, 1, we read, I will pour out of my Spirit upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he said, they shall mourn, every family shall mourn apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and all wives apart. And then it continues by saying, and I will open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem a fountain for sin and uncleanness. This is when the nation will be born in a day, according to Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 8. Thus we find from many scriptures that the second coming of Jesus Christ will find the regathering of the children of Israel from among all nations. And we find that at this time, all Israel will be saved. That is the third of the nation of Israel as pictured in Zechariah 13, verse 9. God promises to destroy two-thirds of Israel during that time, during the tribulation itself, leaving one-third that will accept Jesus Christ and look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, shall be converted and born again and cleansed by the fountain open in the house of David during that particular period. The 12th chapter of the book of Daniel pictures the final establishment of Christ's kingdom on earth, and blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. Now the chapter 9 of the book of Daniel we will deal with in another study when we talk about the 70th week of Daniel.